Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Well, I'm going to tell you, welcome to the best day of your life yet. Right? Why not today be the best day of your life yet? Do you want it to be the worst day of your life yet? No. Why not make a decision that today is going to be the best day of your life yet? What if we do that every day?
All right.
Amen. Come on. Jesus can meet that kind of faith. All right, we're going to start with Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to read out of the NLT version. I got to get my phone out here. I don't have 100 versions of the Bible like Pastor Preston does. So I'm going to actually use my phone, but I'm going to read out of the NLT. I like this version. We're going to read out of Daniel chapter 6, the first 10 verses, okay? Starting off here, this is right before the lion's den. Darius, he's the king, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Verse 4, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Verse 6. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and they said, long live King Darius! And he was a very prideful king, and so they played into his pride. So they said, we're all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king, that you, King Darius, should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, O great king, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. So he signed it. Verse 10. This is my favorite. When Daniel learned the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual. Let me just stop right here. This is crazy what just happened. Did you hear what I just read? So there is a law that's being enforced that says for the next 30 days, if you pray to any other god except King Darius, into the lion's den you go. And Daniel, when he learned that, when he got word of that, he went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks. Title of my message is Just As He Had Always Done. Just as he had always done. I want it to be said, just as we had always done.
Amen.
Let it be so. Let it be said. Just as we, Bethel family, had always done. So the law comes into effect. And Daniel didn't run out and buy all the toilet paper that he could buy. He didn't freak out. He didn't spaz out. He didn't go ballistic. He didn't lose it. He went to his house, like he always did, and he knelt down in his upstairs room, and he prayed 3 times, and he gave thanks to God. There's something that happens in a person when your usual life involves time with Jesus. He was a trustworthy man. He was a responsible man. He was a man that was excellent in spirit because he spent time with Jesus. He's a man that didn't flip out and lose it when dark times came, when a shaking was happening. He wasn't shaken. What he did was he went and did what he always did. He went back to his house, to his upstairs room. He knelt down and he prayed to his God that he had relationship with. It was a routine. It was a way of life. It was what he had established over time was time with the Lord. There's a familiar passage. Found in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, imagine that. What a concept. Hear some words and actually do it. Actually obey. Any parents in here that actually love it when you give instruction to your child and they obey? That is a glorious thing. Or how about your employee? Any bosses in here that love when your employees do what you ask them to do? Yes. Wives, do you love when your husband does what you ask? I'm just kidding. I do. Everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell. The floods came, the wind blew, and the storm beat on that house. But, what's it say? It did not fall. Why? Because it was built on the rock. It had been founded on the rock. Verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell. Those same rains come. The floods still come. The wind still blows. And beat against that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. This house represents our lives. It represents my life and your life. And so we can choose to build our life on the one true rock who is eternal, who holds all things together by the power of his word, who says who breathes and who doesn't, who speaks to mountains and they move from here to there, who at the breath of his nostrils things move. This Jesus, this is the rock that we get the opportunity to serve and to know and to love and to walk with, to build our life on. And so in this parable here, in Matthew 7, this represents our life. The wise man listens to the word of God and builds builds his life on Jesus. The foolish man does not. And let me tell you, my friends, if you're in here and you haven't experienced storms or rain or wind or a shaking in your life, you will. Get ready. None are exempt. Most of us have multiple all throughout our lives. It's not just a one-time storm. It's not just a one-time hurricane that blows through. Whew, glad that's over. Check that off my list for my life. Won't ever have to have another storm again. No more trials or problems for me. No, baby, that's not how it works. Every day is filled with different opportunities of problems and trials and struggles. Varying degrees, of course. But there are those that come in that the winds blow and the storms come and the hurricanes and the rain, and it comes to shake us. And if our life is not built on the rock who is Jesus, we'll be destroyed. Daniel built his life on the rock. The beginning of the year, I started reading a book called Habits of the Household by a gentleman by the name of Justin Whitmer Early. And this quote, I wrote it in my journal. I've read it multiple times. It's just so good. I'm going to share it with you today. It says, the heart, I think it should be on the screen. The heart always, maybe not, the heart always follows the habit. You probably want to write this down. The heart always follows the habit. Why? Because habits are little routines of worship. And worship changes what we love. It's so good. The heart always follows the habit, because habits are little routines of worship, and worship changes what we love. What do we put first every day of our lives? What do you do first thing in the day? What routines have you set up in your life that are important, that are critical? Back in the 90s, Stephen Covey came out with a book and a principle talking about first things first. So if you, and differentiating between the two, there's lots of things in life, right? From enormous things to itty bitty things. From things that have great meaning all the way to things that absolutely mean nothing. Right? And everything in between. And the principle is, if you start with the big rocks, the important things, the critical things in life, and you schedule them first, then you'll have time for more than you could ever have thought. So I'm going to have a really adorable assistant come on up and help me right now.
I like that. Adorable.
You are adorable.
You hear that?
So we've got some big rocks here that are important in our lives. Jesus being the first.
The first.
Right, love? How many of you would say family is an important priority in our lives? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How about spiritual family?
Come on, church.
Come on. In case you didn't know this, I need to tell you, but this is his idea.
It's his.
The church is the idea of Jesus. It's his idea to save the world. It wasn't some man that said, oh, I think we need to gather all the Christians together every Sunday. No, this is his idea. And so if you choose to not be a part of church, a spiritual family, and be here, you're going against what his desire is. His desire is that we gather frequently, right? What else? Friendships are super important.
Amen.
Relationships.
We're all about them.
Calling. Your calling. How God has wired you. He's created you. Your mind, your personality, everything about you to fulfill what he's called you to fulfill in the earth. Anybody want to take a vacation every now and then?
Come on.
And just enjoy one another and Jesus and be refreshed? And how about our health? This temple's a critical thing to take care of if we're going to run the race for the long haul and serve him with the best we can do, right? And there are other things that are important to different ones of us. So that's what these big rocks represent. Now, these little rocks in this jar, these little beads, represent things that are anything from completely pointless, like a video game, means nothing. Sorry, Sonny. I know my little son's going to get offended at that, but they mean nothing at the end of your life. How many hours have you wasted? Or that little constant ping that you just keep looking. It's just more crazy advertisements or wasteless stuff. It just gets your attention. Or maybe it could be things that are permissible, things that are okay. They're not sinful, but they're just time wasters. You know, how many times you have to clean that bathroom today? I mean, it's clean, okay? It's clean. Any of you OCD people like me? But there's all kinds of things in here, you know, that some are okay. They're not all bad. But in the whole scope of things, they're not the big rocks, okay?
Right.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little illustration here with my little assistant.
Yeah, so God's not against these little things. You know, these permissible things. In fact, Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
That's right.
But if you don't seek first, then all these little things have already filled your vessel, right, in your life, and now you put Jesus in, and praise God you've done that. I mean, hallelujah for putting Jesus in here, getting him in, right? And then your family, super important.
I need all those to get your family in here and the lid.
Okay,
so,
okay. Well, hold on. I see, which one's, I'm going to pick church. Yeah, there we go. I can slide that in there.
Barely. Ooh, I think that might be 3 Sundays a week. I don't think that's 4 a month. I don't think that's 4 Sundays a month.
Okay. Well, there we go. No time for my health is
going
to be out of the box.
You're going to the doctor a lot. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, there you go, right? So you got these other things like
nothing.
My calling and destiny, or I could, you know, put those other things first, but other things get left out. Friendships, you know, we're not into disposable relationships here, are we, Bethel?
No.
Right? They're valuable because God is all about relationship. He is relationship.
Yeah.
Vacations, man, God's a blast. Right?
Yes,
I mean,
he had,
you know, Jesus go on a vacation to Egypt, took Abraham to Egypt. God's into vacations. Okay? I mean, so.
I love it.
But how do we do it? How do we get all
Maybe
of this
let's
in?
Let's try starting with Jesus.
Why don't we start with Jesus, right? Why don't we start with a clean vessel?
Yes.
An empty one, right?
Yeah.
It's empty. An empty vessel, and we get Jesus in there, and then we get our family inside here, right? And then we get church in here. Oh yeah, lots of room, right? My destiny, my calling, my why, it's in here. And I discover my friendships are in here. Health, definitely in here. Vacation, and look at this. I got room for other rocks that I haven't even named yet. Okay, so we're in here. So
looking good.
Now all these other things, an occasional time to get on social media and hear an encouraging word from Pastor Mike or Julie or the other many pastors. Okay, and another podcast. Listen to the Sunday sermon for your fifth time. Okay, but and whatever other permissible things here we've got. Can
here.
We get these in here?
I don't know.
We'll see. Well, I mean,
let's try.
There's a lot. Well, there's a lot of good life. A lot of permissible good things that are just pouring in. They're finding room in your life. It's amazing how Jesus came not to kill, steal, or destroy, but to bring life and life more abundantly. This is what Jesus promised. Oh, could it happen? Could it work? Could we get it in? All of it
in?
Oh, look at that.
Wow. Good stuff. This is good stuff. This is the right order. This is the right priority. Who wants a rich life?
Yes.
Who wants a full life? This is the way to get it. Is Jesus first. Jesus first is the way to the richest life. The richest life. I remember early in Bible college, my first year as a freshman, the Lord started really wooing me. And I had not gotten up early pretty much ever my whole life. I mean, I'd read my Bible some and I'd given my life to the Lord, but I had never done anything radical up until that point. And he was wooing my heart. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get up early for you. Well, the dorm is still quiet while everybody else is still sleeping. I started getting up at 5 a.m. and I'd spend an hour and a half with Jesus in the stillness of the dorm as a little freshman girl in Bible college. And I cannot tell you what the depth of what was deposited into me. All those hours, all those mornings sitting with Jesus. There's no price tag for that. But how many of you know college life is late nights, lots of tests? It was a sacrifice to get up early. And there were many mornings I didn't want to get up early. But there was a hunger through his wooing that caused me to say, Jesus, I want you more than I want some extra sleep right now by his grace. It was prioritizing time with him. And as I was meditating on this this message this past week, the Lord gave me this picture, and I thought, okay, we're all going to go into eternity at some point. I just had this picture of taking our last breath in this life and stepping into eternity and having the hand of Jesus take our hand. And do I want to grab the hand of Jesus, seeing him face to face, and say, wow, God, I really spent so much time on this thing that didn't end up being anything really important. And I wasted tons of energy over here. Instead, stepping into eternity, taking my last breath on this side and breathing my first there and seeing Jesus face to face and saying, I've loved getting to know you on this side. I can't wait to continue. We have so much waste in our lives. Last April, this year has been a year, my word has been nurture. And God has used that word in multiple ways. And one of the ways has been he's nurtured my soul in ways this year, unlike probably any other year. And back in April, while we were in Hawaii, as is my custom, I get up really early and walk the beach with Jesus every morning I'm in Hawaii. There's nothing like it. So I'm walking this one morning, talking with the Lord, and he says, Julie, you've got waste in your life. I said, okay. He said, you've wasted emotional energy on things that you should not have wasted emotional energy on. You've wasted thoughts. You've been consumed by thoughts and what ifs and the negative stuff and what could come or what could happen. And you've wasted. You wasted time, you wasted energy, you've wasted resource, you've wasted. And I, by the grace of God, I felt that conviction and I just started repenting. And so I am walking down to the furthest part, the most secluded part of that beach in Maui, because at this point I'm crying, repenting to the Lord, wanting to have time, be alone. And I just repented. And I repented and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. So sorry for the waste. You know, we have a company called Waste Management. Anybody visit your house every week like it does mine? That word waste, what that word waste means is it refers to unwanted or unusable material that is produced through the activity of humans. Waste refers to the unwanted or unusable material that's produced through the activity of humans. So we have a company that we pay to come to our house every week to pick up all the trash, all the garbage, all the waste. And yet how much waste is in our internal lives that we just continue to let pile up and pile up and pile up? Anybody ever seen that show, Hoarders? And so it's just like, oh gosh, well, I can barely get to you, Jesus, because, you know, there's so many other things that are really important that I've got to do today. I mean, you know, I have to go, and I mean, all those laundry, you know, it's three loads, and I need to get started first thing. That's important. And those emails, I get at least 100 a day if I don't start first thing in the morning. And we can't get to Jesus because all the waste that's in our lives. If you were to look at your day, you just think back from yesterday. How much time did you waste? And listen, I'm all for fun. God's a God of fun. Fun should be included. It's refreshing. Laugh. There are great things. Our family has game night every week. We play games. So please don't hear what I'm not saying. Laughter is good for the soul. Fun is good for you. I'm saying, what things are wasting your time, wasting your mental energy, wasting your emotional energy that you need to get rid of, that you need to sweep it on out, clean it on out, to make room for the most important? If you were given a diagnosis, you had a few weeks or months to live, how would you live differently? That's a great question to figure out what's really important in your life and what's really not. Because I promise you, if someone came in here and said you have 4 weeks to live, you would be cutting out a lot of stuff. You'd be shaving it here and shaving it there. You'd be doing the most important things. So that's the kind of question we need to ask ourselves to be able to see and remove the waste. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Get rid of the waste, God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So like Daniel, we have to be intentional and strategic about first things first. And then after we're intentional and strategic, we've got to be consistent and persistent to keep it that way. It's not easy. This is not easy. Our life is not easy. All the things we have to juggle is not easy. But none of us signed up for easy. And the word never said it was easy. The path that Jesus took on the cross for redemption for our lives was not easy. And so easy's not a part of the equation. And that's all part of this comfort culture that we all have lived in. And especially the generation that's come up, but it's affected all of us. If you're breathing today, our comfort culture has affected us. And we've gotten soft. And we've gotten soft. And it's not good. Because we can't even say I'm going to get up at 6 and actually get up at 6 and spend 30 minutes with Jesus, because it's just like, no, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in. And then at 7 o'clock, we roll out of bed. And the first thing we grab is our social media or our emails or what have you. Or I got to have the coffee, because coffee is above Jesus. So I can't even do anything until I have that or what have you. I'm being funny. But drink your coffee. I don't care. Just drink it with Jesus. in the morning. We've gotten soft. About 3 years ago, maybe 2.5, I've lost track, maybe 3.5, I went on a big health journey. And it was crazy what I had to do, and the little amount of calories I had to eat, and all the stuff I cut out, and I mean, the benefit paid off. I lost almost 20 pounds, lost 19 pounds, and I felt amazing. My brain felt amazing. My energy was at a whole time level. I was talking, the mic's like, you were talking so fast, you're talking so much. It was just like I had all this energy, and so I was. But more, what I loved more than the weight loss, and I love the weight loss, or the mental energy, or the clarity, or the energy, or any of that. What I loved the most was that I buffeted my body. That I told my body that it wasn't in charge.
Amen.
That the Spirit of God living on the inside of me was in charge. And this little carnal flesh that fights to lead every single day never gives up, never takes a vacation, never gets worn out, and just wears and wears and wears, tries to wear on me and pull me down. And that's what I loved the most, was that my spirit man was leading.
Yes.
And my flesh was in the back.
Yes.
And it's a liberating way to live. And when we spend time with Jesus first, and we get our instructions in the morning, like good little soldiers, then we can go in the power of His strength and His love and His might. And we can fulfill more than we ever dreamed, more than we ever imagined or dreamed. And our spirit man wins. It's a great way to live. So I'm going to tell you in our last few minutes, I'm going to give you some ideas on how to draw closer to Jesus. Some of these you've heard, some of these maybe you haven't. My challenge at the end of this is this. Would you consider adding one thing to your life today or starting tomorrow? Would you ask the Lord, is there one thing? What one thing can I do to draw closer to you, to have greater union with you, to have more intimacy with you, to be closer to you, Jesus? So I'm going to give you a list. It's not all inclusive, but just to help you ideate. And would you ask Jesus, should I do this? And would you consider adding a discipline? Because listen, you can't do everything at once. You'll give up by the end of the week. What I do now in my walk with Jesus is not what I did when I was 10 when I got saved. It wasn't what I did when I was 20 in Bible college. It wasn't what I did when I was 30. 5, 36, and had 3 young children. What I did then was just barely talk to Jesus. Help me, Lord. There are seasons. And there's grace for seasons. But you build on things. You build disciplines into your life. So, number one, here's some ways to draw close to Jesus. Number one, this past summer, it's called benevolent detachment. Benevolent detachment. So what, and it's going to be on the screen for you. What I did this summer, July, the Lord led me to this amazing book. I highly recommend it, times a million. You've got to get it. I get no kickback from this. I'm just telling you it's amazing. It's a word for now. It's called Resilient. It's by John Eldridge. It is an outstanding book to draw closer to Jesus. And so in there, I learned about this, about benevolent detachment. And what it is, benevolent detachment, it is giving everyone and everything to Jesus. Lord, I give it all to you. I release this person. I release this problem. I release this weight I'm carrying. I release this worry that just is hounding me, and I got to give it over to you right now. Lord, you handle it, Jesus. I release it all. I give everyone and everything to you. And why do we want to do that? Because all those things get in the way of our relationship with Jesus, our union with him. If you just keep having all these weights and all these weights carrying you, crushing you, you start feeling, oh, this work issue, oh, this employee issue, oh, this family problem, oh, this relational thing, oh, this financial, oh, this hell. And then at the time, we're at the bottom, we're piled in rocks, and we can't even have any, there's barely a little beam of light to get to Jesus. And so we've got to be able, and every day has its cares. And we've got to be able to unleash and release these cares to Jesus so that we can have free and clear union with him. I do it in the morning for 10 minutes, and I do it at night for 10 minutes. My phone has an alarm at 2 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock. It goes off, and it says, pause. It says, pause for Jesus. And I wait. And at the 10 and 2, be 1 minute where I just stop, I close my laptop, whatever I'm doing, and I just, Lord, I just right now, I give everything to you. I want to be filled up again with you. This thing that happened at 9 o'clock that's still wearing on me, Lord, I give it to you. I release it to you right now. I trust you to go before it. You cover it. Do you know so many times we live like atheists? It's just like we live as if we're in charge of our lives. Instead of, we're supposed to be believers who believe Jesus, who are under the lordship of Jesus, and he's king. And if someone tells you, I'm going to carry this weight. Oh, another problem happened at 9 o'clock, none at 10, 10:45. Oh, three more problems happened at 11:03, and we just keep carrying them. And we got to deal with them. I got to figure out a solution. How about another way? How about pausing at 10 o'clock and saying, Lord, I give it to you? And I'm going to trust you to handle it, God. You can handle it way better than I could ever handle it. I thank you that you're going to, that the spirit of wisdom is going to come upon me, and you're going to give me solutions for this situation or this issue. 1 minute. 3 minutes. If you don't have 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 minutes to stop at 10 a.m. or at 2 p.m., you've got to rearrange your whole life, baby. Let me just tell you, we've got bigger problems. We have to slow down. We can't just keep running and running and running and make no time for Jesus. Oh, I'll see you. I'll see you in 2 Sundays. It's not how he's called us to live. So benevolent detachment. Number 2, buy a devotion book. If you're at the beginning of walking with Jesus and you haven't done a whole lot, spent a whole lot of time with him, get a devotion book. Start with 5 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the morning. One of my favorites, it's a classic by Oswald Chambers. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. My Utmost for His Highest. I've read it multiple times. God will always speak. At least he has for me. Just open it, get the mind of Christ, hear his voice. You're good. It's a great way to start your morning. Number 3, just sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Some of you are like, are you kidding me? Sing to Jesus. I want to know how many of you stayed up the other night for the Taylor Swift release of her new album. Maybe you had a little listen party, I don't know, and now you're just singing along, you know, all her new songs, and then, you know, 3 a.m., the additional ones got released, you know, and you're just loving this. Woo, Taylor Swift, you're singing in your car. Let's sing to Jesus. Grab a song, your favorite song, and just open your mouth and sing. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. If you just have a thought like, wow, Jesus, that was really good. You came through. Just open your mouth. Thank you for your goodness. Just start right there. Oh, how I love you. Oh, the way you love me back. There's nothing like it. Doesn't take much. Just open your mouth. All day long, we open our mouths and talk to human beings who are made in the image of Jesus. And you and I get the opportunity at any moment of any day to open our mouths and open our hearts and speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of everything. He says, come and have a relationship with me. Come and get close. Come on and nestle up and just sing to me right here. Thank you. Number four, start each morning with gratitude. Beginning of the new year, there's going to be a whole message on this with a testimony journal is going to be made available. You're going to get a whole impartation, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I'm going to encourage you with this 21-day journal that we are starting as a family, like we do every year. Next Monday, the day one of 21 starts. We're providing the devotional to you, all the resources that come with it. All you got to do is get it and do it. My challenge is, before you start or when you're finished, maybe write down on the top of each page what you're thankful for that day. And write it down and say it out loud and thank Him. And go back and revisit every day. You're on day 8, start with day 1 and go back. It'll change your mind. It'll change who you are. It'll change the way you think. Number 5, open your Bible and read it. I've got this little sticker that's on my vanity and it says, "Girl, read your Bible." And it's in the cutest little font, and I love it. It's literally right there in my makeup mirror. It says, "Girl, read your Bible." I see it every morning, and I smile. I love it. Have your Bible. Sit it out next to your nightstand or on your kitchen table so you see it. Grab a verse. Grab a chapter. Start somewhere. Number 6, download John Eldridge's 1 Minute Pause. Listen, there's an app on the App Store. It's free. It's called the 1 Minute Pause. It looks like a pause button. It's black and white. That's how I pause every day. I just pause and get to union with Jesus. It's an amazing resource, completely free. Number 7, confess the word daily. I've talked about this so many times. You've heard me. I've confessed the word for probably over close to 25 to 30 years. I've lost track. Almost every day of my life, it has saved my life. It has saved my mind. The word of God transforms us. Confessing it out loud builds our faith. Number 8, listen to a sermon podcast. There are amazing sermons out there. Amazing people of God with powerful truths. Listen to that. Let it stir yourself. Number 9, quiet yourself. This is something that's lost in our culture. But just shutting the door, sitting down, and saying, "This is my time with you." As was Daniel's custom, like he had always done, he sat with Jesus. I have a white couch in my bedroom, and I sit right in the middle of it, and I've got my Bible there. I've got actually 2 of my Bibles there, 2 different versions. I've got my confession sheets. I've got my books. I've got my Bible markers. I've got my testimony journal. I put my phone over there on silent, and it's playing worship instrumental music, and I sit with Jesus. My family knows I don't have little people anymore, so it's different. I'm going to be with you, Lord. I do it almost every night. This is my time with you. And I do it because I'm desperate for Him. It's not because I'm great. It's because I'm actually horrific. And if you get me without being with Jesus, just ask Him. I'm an absolute mess. I am nothing you want to encounter. That's funny. But when I get with Jesus, you want to encounter me because you're going to encounter Him. Yes. Because He transforms us. Yes. In His presence. Yes. We look more like Him. His likeness rubs off. And we look less and less like us and more like Him. But it'll never happen. We don't make time and turn off everything else that's competing for our attention, that's vying for our attention, that's lying, saying, "You have to get this done. If this doesn't happen, All those little threatening, lying, intimidating spirits, just tell them to go take a nap, that you're going to sit with Jesus. They'll all be there when you get back, I promise. But you will have been filled up by your time with him. Learn to sit and quiet yourself with Jesus. I love this. John Wesley's mom, Suzanne, I know I've said this before, but I love this story. She had 19 children. Not all of them lived, but she had 19 children. Okay, just imagine 3 children. I know what 3 children's like. 19 in a little tiny, how many couple bedroom or couple room house. And what she would do is she would tell her children, she would say, listen, when mommy's sitting over here with the apron over her head, maybe we all should just go buy some aprons. When you see mommy with an apron over her head, that means you don't bother mommy. I'm praying to Jesus. What excuse do we have, my friends? If a woman with 19 children in a 2-room house can drape an apron over her head to make time to be with her king, what in the world is our excuse? You can adopt and declare truths over your life, just all on your phone. Listen, I've got every morning, Proverbs 14:1 comes up on my phone. A wise woman builds her house, a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. It's a reminder to me, no matter what kind of a mood I wake up in, no matter what kind of thing attacks me, Lord, I'm going to be a wise woman who builds my house. I'm not going to tear my house down with my own hands. So just declarations. You could dance to the Lord, fast, pray in your heavenly language. Talk to Jesus. Watch The Chosen. If you have no idea, so I know it's not the gospel, I know that. But it's a beautiful representation of what could have been. And if you need some help with an idea of who Jesus may be, you'll get a little glimpse of how amazing he is. It's not about a religion. It's not about checking something off our list, my friends. I'm going to read this quote. I'm out of time. John Eldridge said this in his book, Resilient. It'll be on the screen. He says, let me say what we all need to hear right now. The mistake folks are making in this rough hour is trying to figure out how to fit a little bit more of God into their already crowded lives. That's our culture right now. We need to do the opposite. Start with God, center your life on Him, and work out from there. Our spirituality moves from something that's part of our life to the epicenter of our life, from which all other things flow. I love this. Plan to become the most converted person your friends and family know. Who wants to become the most converted person your friends or family know? Not so people can see you, so people can see Jesus, so people can be drawn to Jesus. That's so great. I mean, how about that to inner eternity? Jesus, he's like, wow, you were one of the most converted people out there. This is a real life. We get one chance. We get one shot at this. It's not to be wasted on all these little things that at the end of eternity will add up to nothing, that will count for nothing. So my question, would you be willing to ask Jesus today, what can I do? What discipline can I add onto my life to become closer to you? Closest to him, union to him, union with him, growing more in his likeness because of being in his presence. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I love you. We love you. Lord, we're here because we love you and we want to love you more. That's just it, Lord. We want to love you more. We are weak so often. We give in to our flesh so often, God. And we're so grateful for the way that you continue to rescue us and redeem us and restore us. And we thank you for your overwhelming goodness that we don't deserve, but yet you continue to give it. And so we say we're grateful today for that. And Lord, would you woo us to a greater level of intimacy with you? And would you help us to receive the grace to become more disciplined children of you, to pursue you more with a passion, God, that you would leak out of us everywhere we go. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.